Yeah, but this was his body.
I'm sorry, do you prefer Ms. Leech?
She took the bait, and the burning pain returned. Ash pulled harder on his magic, draining what little reserves he had. Ember had compared magic to a river flowing to a larger body of water. The analogy works to explain how the body refilled its magic reserves. She also used the analogy of tributary rivers to explain how magic items could affect one's magic, both positive and negative.
That's the best you got? Pathetic!
The pain hurt like hell, but he egged her on. In one of Ember's videos, she talked about how poor quality or nefarious magic items could reverse the flow of magic and drain the user. This concept was what he was currently trying to do.
If this works, I need to do something for Ember. See if her page has a wish list. You're like a tick on my ass!
A rush of magic started to flow through him as the magic affinity changed the lightning coming from his fingers, replacing it with a dark mist. He had managed to reverse the magic flow, and now it was his turn to play Parasite. He started slinging spells, trying to burn down her reserves.
Stop this or I will kill you!
The voice shrieked. Ash laughed and kept hurling spells. She was bluffing. At least he hoped so. This whole plan resided on the idea that she needed him alive.
We can talk about this! Just stop!
Oh, now you want to talk? What if I don't feel like talking?
Fog poured from his body before converging together and tackling him to the ground, his hands pinned to the sand by something gripping his wrists. The fog cleared, and a woman was on top of him, glaring. She had long silver hair and bright red irises. She was also nude, and he could feel two well-sized globes pushing into his chest as she restrained him.
You stubborn, spiteful bastard! You don't have as much protection from me as you think! Now let's talk, or I can kill you and find someone else to feed off of.
She let him go as she stood up and held out her hand towards him.
Now stop staring at my tits and give me your jacket.
His jacket swallowed her and looked more like a short dress. Her eyes darted around their surroundings.
What district are we in? I know your roommate is an orc. Are they the most common race here?
District 114, and no, that would be Beastkin. So,
who was the idiot that locked a banshee in that safe?
The red eyes and fog gave away what she was. One of the fey races that blurred the lines between flesh and magic. They were known for strong death magic and being partial to violence. They also disliked iron and salt, since it sapped death magic, which would explain why someone had tried to get rid of her by throwing the safe into the sea.
Playing magical chicken with a damn death fae. Brilliant plan, Ash.
A dead idiot, once I regain my strength.
The banshee waved her hand over her, and a fog traced along her body. Soon a silver-haired, red-eyed rabbitkin stood before Ash in her place.
There, now I should not stand out as much.
So, let's talk, he said. Now knowing she was a banshee, he would play this more carefully.
She made a grunt of approval and stuck her hands in the pockets of the jacket.
Right now I have a curse on you feeding me your magic.
She let out a sigh.
Don't look at me like that. I am very grateful for you freeing me from what should have been my coffin. The curse was a desperate measure. I was weak.
Must have been very weak since you were draining my magic reserves dry,
Ash replied in a deadpan tone.
I had hoped doing so would prevent you from mustering the strength to resist me. I was wrong. You honestly impressed me by reversing my curse upon me. Well done.
She approached him and pointed her index finger at him.
So, I propose a deal. I take half your magic each day while I recover, and in exchange, I will take you on as my student in magic.
Before he could respond, the banshee pressed her body against him. She lightly raked her nails down his cheek while biting her lip. She leaned in closely to his ear and whispered,
"Don't answer that. We got an angry-looking puppy coming towards us, girlfriend of yours."
Ash looked to see Phelan moving towards the beach with purpose in her steps. Her eyes were locked on him. Her ears were canted back, and she wore a scowl. "No," he replied, not taking his eyes off Phelan.
"Oh, such a hostile tone in your words, and she looks pissed. Let me demonstrate why you should want to be my student. Do you care if I kill her?"
"Don't kill her." There might be bad blood between him and Phelan, but he didn't wish her dead.
"Human! What did you do to Jacqueline?"
Phelan yelled when she got a few yards from them. "I have a name! And who the hell is Jacqueline?" Ash scowled back. Phelan's eyes darted to the banshee disguised as a rabbitkin who was currently clinging to him like a lover, wearing a smile that grew as Phelan's face showed disdain.
"What were you two doing just now?"
"Making magic,"
the banshee said as she bit her bottom lip suggestively. Phelan huffed.
"Find your clothes and get out of here."
"No, I don't think I will."
The banshee shifted, putting herself in front of Ash. She leaned back and pressed her ass into him as she faced Phelan. Her smile was now a mischievous grin.
"Fine, don't say I didn't warn you."
Phelan looked back at Ash.
"Where's Jacqueline? Ray saw you chasing after her last night, and now she's not answering her phone."
"If Jacqueline is the girl who stole Lily's bike last night, then I have no idea where she is." Phelan clicked her tongue.
"Then we do this the hard way. I'll make you tell me where she is. And if you have harmed her in any way, I will end you."
Phelan moved her arm in an upper slash while releasing her magic. Several spikes of earth erupted from the ground heading for them. The banshee held her hand flat with her fingers spread out. Darkness billowed off her hand as she slashed down with it. Blades of death magic erupted from her hand and turned the earthen spikes into a dust cloud. Before the dust had settled, the banshee had closed the gap between Phelan, burying a fist into the wolfkin's gut. Phelan's face was a mixture of surprise and pain, while the banshee had an expression of glee. Phelan used her magic to raise a series of earthen walls to get some distance from her opponent. With her walls up, she had a moment of reprieve. She clutched her stomach and winced, an uneasy look on her face as she stared at the banshee. The banshee turned to Ash with a smile on her face, as if to make sure he was paying attention to her, which he was, with a dumbstruck expression. She slowly raised her arm in the direction of Phelan. She extended her middle and index fingers and pointed them at the earthen wall. Ash recognized the movement as those he used when casting Bolt. An explosion of dark energy shot from her fingers, demolishing the earthen walls and gouging the ground around them. Phelan was blown backward, slamming into the ground hard. She rolled a few yards before stopping. She tried to stand, only to collapse back on the ground.
"Now where is that bravado you had earlier?"
the banshee asked, rocking back and forth on her heels, her hands clasped behind her back. The pose gave her an innocent look. It was a sharp contrast with the reality of the damage she had just caused. To Ash, she asked,
"The beach is lovely, but I feel a bit of a draft. Shall we leave?"
She turned and started to skip away from the beach, humming a chipper tune. Ash started to follow, but turned in his path to head towards Phelan. She was covered in scrapes, and it was clear that one of her arms was broken from being slammed to the ground. She watched him approach with a look of trepidation. His mind recalled how Ray had used a similar opportunity to kick him in the head, and he was sure Phelan was expecting similar, if not worse. She winced when he lifted his hand, but relaxed some when he reached into his pocket, where he thumbed a vial. "Look, I don't know where Jacqueline is, and I don't know what Ray told you, but she was probably lying, like she did when she told you Beau and I robbed her." Ash pulled the vial out of his pocket and placed it next to Phelan. The vial was one of Lily's healing potions. Turning, he left Phelan to catch up to the Banshee.
"Done playing with the puppy? What did you think?"
the Banshee asked, without looking at him.
"That your flirting was a show for Phelan, and any other belief on the matter is a quick way for me to start losing body parts."
The Banshee laughed.
"Smart boy."
She reached up and gave him a pat on the head.
"You can look, but not touch. I can do whatever I want, though."
Ash tried not to roll his eyes at the second part.
"Makes things easier if people think we're lovers. Fewer questions asked about why we're everywhere together. I was asking if my display convinced you to take the deal or not."
It had.
"Deal. My name is Ash, by the way. What do I call you? And don't say mistress or something."
The Banshee was focused on a bit of her hair that she was twirling in her fingers.
"Well, you're no fun. I guess you can call me Silver."
"Like your hair. Should have figured you would give me a fake name."
Ash was trying to figure out how to play the introduction of Silver with Beau. He was still clueless about it by the time Silver opened the door and walked into the apartment as if she had done this several times already. Beau froze in place, the leftover pizza midway to his open mouth, as he watched the silver-haired rabbitkin, wearing nothing but an oversized jacket, walk by with a friendly smile and wave.
"You must be Ash's roommate. Sorry for the indecency. We lost track of the tide and my clothes got swept away. Just stealing something of Ash's that may fit."
Silver said as she walked into the bedroom that was Ash's. Beau turned his wide, staring eyes at Ash, not speaking until he heard the bedroom door close.
"I have so many questions, but most important, does she have a sister?"
I don't know."
"Well, find out, especially if she has one that likes guys who are tall, muscular, and green."
Chapter 5 Phelan lay on the sand and stared up at the sky as the healing potion the human left for her worked at mending her broken bones and cuts. The fact he had done that had surprised her almost more than the mastery of death magic the slut bunny had used to decimate her. His actions were a stark contrast with how Ray and the others had described him. That didn't matter, though. She stood up, winced, and dusted the sand off herself. She needed to find Jacqueline, and the boy was not an option with a heavy hitter like that bunny. Phelan knew she had been toying with her and could have killed her at any point in that fight. She had no clue someone so powerful was in District 114. He had mentioned Lily's bike, and that Jacqueline had stolen it. She frowned at the accusation. Ray and the others had not mentioned the bike. She was sure it was just him trying to throw her off the trail, but it was something easy to disprove. The walk to Lily's garden had been tedious. The healing potion couldn't heal everything, and she knew she'd be sore and bruised for a while. She walked into the building that looked more like a small jungle and hit the bell on the counter. Lily emerged from behind the screen of greenery created by all the plants that filled her shop. The dryad scowled when she saw who had rung the bell, and Phelan heard the sound of plant vines rustling through leaves.
I'm not here to fight.
Phelan held up her hands, knowing that a fight with Lily would be a more one-sided fight than the one with the Death Bunny. Only a fool fought a dryad in her forest, and Lily's shop was her forest.
You only show up when Ray wants someone taken care of that her gang can't handle, the dryad said as she crossed her arms.
The sound of plant vines moving had not stopped, and Phelan could already see a few coiled like a snake, ready to strike should she make a wrong move.
I lead the 114 pack, not Ray.
Lily laughed.
Sure, keep telling yourself that.
I'm looking for a catkin named Jacqueline, Phelan said, ignoring her comment. Brown hair and green eyes. A human said she was riding around on your shop's bike.
Phelan waited for the dryad to tell her that the bike was here and sink the story he told her. Then she would need to figure out how to get him alone and make him talk.
Did you hurt him?
The dryad was staring at her with murderous intent, her eyes darting to the injuries on her body. The hair on the back of Phelan's neck stood, and her heart raced. She knew her next words would decide if she left alive or dead.
I did not harm him, not a scratch.
Phelan could see in Lily's eyes that she didn't believe her. Vines started to snake around her legs and arms, squeezing tightly as they constricted and moved up her body.
I'm telling the truth. Ray said she saw him chase after Jacqueline, and she's not answering her phone now. When I tried to confront him, his girlfriend did this to me. I did not touch him.
The vines stopped moving.
Girlfriend?
Lily asked.
Some big titty bunny with serious magic.
Oh, damn it! I told him to wait at least a month before he made a move. Wonder if I can still win the bet by technicality since they are fucking and not sexting,
she said to herself. Lily was in her head for a moment, muttering to herself. The vines started letting up her grip, with her distracted. With a head shake, she turned and pulled out her phone. She fiddled with it for a moment before she lifted it toward Phelan. A voice message from an old orc started to play.
Hey, Lily, just thought you should know some beastkin just drove your bike off the pier. She ran off after your delivery boy fished her out of the sea. Not looking good for your bike.
Lily shut her phone off and put it back into her pocket.
Her phone is probably shot from the seawater. Did you check her home?
Ray said she swung by this morning.
Ray is a liar. Fuck. Phelan, she has destroyed any goodwill you had outside the beastkin community. It doesn't help that you believe everything she says.
Phelan scowled at what Lily said, as the dryad vanished into the back room, only to return a moment later.
You know what? Here. On the house.
Lily laid a blue vial on the counter.
Truth-sayer potion. Put a drop in Ray's food or drink and ask her anything. She'll be unable to lie. I make a killing selling these to suspicious housewives.
You're wrong about Ray,
Phelan said before she left, though she did take the potion. Jacqueline lived in one of the converted shipping container apartments that were a common sight in all of the districts. Phelan herself lived in one very similar to this one. They suck for insulation, but were cheap. She only had to knock once, and the door opened. Jacqueline's eyes widened, her ears laid flat, and her tail drooped as she stared at Phelan from the doorway.
Boss! What are you doing here?
Phelan's gut dropped as her faith in Ray and the rest of her gang started faltering.
Looking for you, since you're not answering your phone.
Oh, sorry, I broke it yesterday.
Phelan gave Jacqueline a somber look.
When you stole the bike and drove it off the pier?
The fear that filled Jacqueline's eyes answered the question. Phelan's gut dropped more, and she sighed. Pushing her way into the apartment, she went into the kitchen and grabbed a glass, filled it with water, and put a drop from the vial in it. Jacqueline took a seat at the kitchen table. Her eyes never left Phelan.
Drink this.
Jacqueline stared at the glass with apprehension.
Now?
Jacqueline picked up the glass and threw back the contents as Phelan took a seat at the table across from her.
Did Ray come by this morning?
She asked.
Yes, she told me to stay home today and to say I didn't see her if you asked.
Jacqueline's eyes widened when the unexpected truth slipped out. Phelan nodded and took a deep breath as her nerves frayed.
Why did you steal the bike last night?
Tears started streaming down Jacqueline's face as her hands clamped over her mouth. Phelan pulled her hands away and held them down.
She wanted to provoke him! She hoped you would kill him if he got into another fight with us!
Phelan was shaking with fury as her whole body went numb.
Has Ray done this before? Provoke people or told lies so that I would hurt or kill them?
Jacqueline was shaking as she sobbed, her face etched in fear. She fought against the question as if her life depended on it.
Yes!
The potion finally forced her to answer. Phelan's mind raced with the faces of those she had injured or even killed over the years on the belief that she was protecting her community and gang. She stood up, ran to the sink, and vomited the contents of her stomach. Turning on the water, she washed down the vile substance, then splashed her face.
She'll kill me! And make me disappear now!
Jacqueline sobbed.
What do you mean?
Those that make trouble for Ray either end up dead or disappear. I've heard rumors she sells them as slaves to the boss of another district. If they were part of the gang, she would get them to gaslight you, saying they've heard from him or saw him recently.
Phelan's nails dug into the countertop of the kitchen. Her gut threatened to purge its contents again. A deep sense of dread filled her.
Did she make my sister disappear?
Luna had vanished from Phelan's life last year, after the two of them fought. She had been unable to get in contact with her, but several members of the gang, including Ray, would claim they had heard from her. They would tell Phelan she moved from district to district and worked odd jobs, that Luna's fine, only giving Phelan the cold shoulder. The stories fit with Luna's rebellious personality.
She's gloated about that a few times when you're not around. Used it as a warning that even you couldn't protect someone if they piss her off.
Phelan threw the dishware from the kitchen counter onto the floor. She stood there, breathing hard until she got her emotions under control. When she had calmed down enough, she turned for the front door.
Do not leave your apartment until tomorrow,
she demanded, looking back at Jacqueline over her shoulder.
Wait! He saved me. The bike pulled me down and trapped me. I would have drowned if he hadn't freed me,
Jacqueline said with a dejected look.
Is he dead?
He's alive,
Phelan replied.
Good.
Jacqueline relaxed some, as if a weight had been taken off her conscience. Phelan closed the door. Her conscience was heavier than ever. Immediately, Phelan went in search of Ray and found her after an hour of looking around the gang's usual hangouts. Ray and several members of the 114 pack were hanging out at an empty lot that the gang used as a place to spar. She was sitting on top of an old picnic table, watching two gang members fight. Ray got off the picnic table once she spotted Phelan and approached her with a gleeful smile. The smile disgusted Phelan.
Boss, looks like you were in a fight. I take it the human is dead.
Phelan didn't answer. Instead, she slammed a pillar of earth magic into Ray's right knee. Her face twisted in agony as her knee bent the wrong way. Everyone froze, some after they placed their hands on their weapons. Ray struggled to stand as she pulled a folding knife from her pocket. The two moved at the same time. Phelan leaped toward Ray as she tried to stab her. The knife was knocked out of Ray's hand and flew out of her reach as Phelan tackled her to the ground. The two fought for dominance before Phelan finally got the upper hand. She had always been stronger than Ray. She straddled Ray and pinned both her hands against the ground with one of hers. Ray tried to break free, but it was useless. Phelan grabbed the truthsayer potion from her pocket, pulled the cork off with a bite, and dumped the liquid of the vial down Ray's throat. She choked on the potion, gasping for breath once the vial was empty. Phelan grabbed Ray by the hair and pulled her closer to her, forcing Ray to look her in the eyes.
"Did you kill my sister or sell her into slavery?"
Ray paled as her wolf ears went flat and eyes became wells of terror.
"I sold her."
Phelan backhanded Ray. Blood dripped from her busted lip.
"Where is she?"
Phelan readied her hand to hit her again. Ray flinched in anticipation of the strike. The potion compelled her to speak.
"I sold her to the boss of District 208. I don't know if she's still there or even if she's alive."
Ray cried out as Phelan struck her again.
"Why did you betray me?"
Ray sobbed. Her eyes darted to the other gang members, pleading for help.
"Please, don't kill me," she begged. "Why did you betray me?"
Phelan cast her earth magic on the ground, giving it a liquid-like quality that caused Ray to start sinking. Soon, only Ray's head was above the liquid soil, supported by Phelan's tight grip on her hair.
"Money and power. A boyfriend of mine knew the boss of District 208. Started with me doing odd jobs for him, like tossing a safe into the sea. The pay was good, but then I learned he paid better for slaves. I figured out I could buy the loyalty of some of the gang or sell those who wouldn't back me in 208. Eventually, the gang was essentially mine except in name."
Phelan let Ray disappear into the ground and released her magic, the earth entombing her. Even if the others tried to dig her out, she would suffocate before they got to her. Standing, she met the eyes of every gang member.
"You have 24 hours to get out of District 114. If I see any of you here again, you will meet the same fate I just gave Ray."
The sun was setting by the time she got home. She groaned when she flipped on the living room light and it burned out. It was the cherry on top of what had been the worst day of her life. Holding out her hand, she pulled on the magic affinity she didn't use publicly. A small ball of fire started floating in her palm, illuminating the room. She walked to the coffee table and lit the candle she kept on it with the ball of fire. Changing the light bulb could wait. Her place was pretty good by shipping container apartment standards and what she paid for it. Two bedrooms, one of which had been Luna's, one bathroom, and an open kitchen and living room, except for the corner of the living room, which she had set up for streaming. The red wig she wore when she was Ember sat on a mannequin head near the computer. Only Luna knew about her streaming hobby. She tried to keep her identity a secret, going so far as using her other magic affinity as Ember. Multiple magical affinities were uncommon, after all. Like the gang, streaming had been a hope of hers. Very few beastkin could use magic, not for a lack of ability, but knowledge. Beastkins typically lived in small family units or tribes back on Voss. They didn't make great civilizations like some of the other races, and knowledge was normally kept in those small family units or tribes. This world, though, was very connected, and knowledge flowed like water in a river. The human's technology allowed her to pass her knowledge to any who wished to learn. She was far from the only paranormal to become a streamer and start posting vids on magic theory, but she was one of the few beastkins. Even if she only had a few followers, she was teaching people. Perhaps a few beastkins were casting spells because of her. Phelan opened up the messaging app on her phone. It was the one she used for her Ember persona. Normally, she would only check it once a week, but lately, she was on it multiple times a day. All because of him. Smoke. She didn't know his real name or what he looked like. His profile was bare bones. What she did know was he had a hunger to learn magic. The two of them would spend hours talking about it. Eventually, those conversations branched out into other topics. Now she would fret if she didn't get a good morning text from him. There was a real fear for her that he would one day vanish, which would only get worse since now he was her only friend. She typed out a message to Smoke while wandering to the fridge for a beer. She hit send once she collapsed on the couch. Ember.
Hey, sorry for ignoring you all day. It's been a rough one.
Smoke. Sorry to hear that. Do you want to talk about it?
I wish, but I'm sure it would scare you off.
Phelan said to herself as she took a swig of her beer. Ember.
No, just want to think about anything other than it.
A gif of a cat riding around on a Roomba while wearing a ridiculous costume showed up under her message. Smoke.
Well, I'll do my best to be a distraction for you tonight.
Phelan bit her lip as she typed out the next message. Her finger hovered over the send button as she debated sending it or not. She finished off her beer and then sent the message. Ember.
How much of a distraction are you willing to be?
She held her breath as those three little dots showed him typing his response. Smoke.
I will be whatever kind of distraction you need tonight.
Phelan unbuttoned her jeans, pulling them partway down her thighs. Her hand snaked between her legs, and her breath caught as her finger found the hood of her clit. She wanted a distraction, for her mind to be focused on something else. Getting off would let her forget about the world for a while. Ember.
Do you like wolf girls?
She typed with her left hand as her right started caressing her clit, going back and forth slowly. Smoke.
I find them very sexy.
Her excitement grew as she started getting wetter. Ember.
So, what would you do to one?
Chapter 6. The bike's engine sputtered a few times before dying, causing Ash to curse. He and Beau had been working on the bike most of the morning. They even tore apart the engine and cleaned everything, but they couldn't quite get it going. The best they could get it was sputtering. Beau was currently on a run for supplies, leaving a very unhelpful Silver in his place.
I'm gonna try and clean the carburetor again. Can you pass me the wrench, Silver?
The Banshee, still disguised as a rabbitkin, scowled at him, making no move for the tool.
Why don't you text your redhead wolf slut? She would probably bring you the tool and then suck off the other one in your pants.
Ash rubbed his brow.
He wished Beau was still here.
Then Silver would limit her hostility to just dirty looks when the orc's back was to her.
I don't get why you're so upset about that. We are not a couple. Hell, I don't even want to do the pretend girlfriend alibi you came up with. I don't see why we can't just tell everyone you're my magic teacher. It would work just as well.
Silver's scowl shifted into a pout as she crossed her arms over her chest.
I'm upset because I had this whole seductress routine in my head. You were supposed to swoon over me as I tempted you around others, only to act cold when we were alone.
Silver wrapped her arms around herself in a hug and closed her eyes as she attempted a deeper voice.
Mistress Silver, I can't take it anymore. Please allow me to touch just one part of you. I will give myself to you as your humble slave.
Silver released her self-hug and arrogantly flipped her hair, her voice returning to normal.
Fine, I will allow you to touch my feet as you massage them. After, you can be a footstool for me, my slave.
Ash's jaw hung open as he watched in bewilderment at Silver's one-woman show.
You were in that safe for a while, weren't you?
The scowl returned to her face as she glared at him.
The point is, you had all of this right in front of you.
She gestured to her body.
Which you completely ignored for texting some YouTube slut puppy about how you would rail her pussy. You know what? I'm going to go and dislike all of her videos.
Silver started walking back to the apartment, leaving a dumbfounded Ash to fetch his own tools.
What the hell did I sign up for with her?
He had the carburetor taken apart, cleaned, and ready to be put back on when he heard someone approaching. Turning, he expected to see Beau back with the supplies that would hopefully get the bike finally fixed. Instead, he locked eyes with Phelan, and the gang leader stopped her approach. He pulled his magic and readied a bolt, wishing Silver was still here. Phelan had been pissed yesterday, and he was sure Silver beating her into a pulp didn't help any.
I'm not here to fight.
Phelan held up her open palms. Well, that's a refreshing change. Please do forgive me if I don't drop my guard around the person who has assaulted me twice and whose gang has made a hobby of harassing me. Phelan nodded. Her ears were lying flat, and her tail was tucked.
That's fair.
She said, quietly. So why are you here? I already told you I don't know where this Jacqueline girl disappeared to. The Wolfkin's eyes lowered to the ground.
To apologize for everything. You were right about Ray. She was a liar and a manipulator. I was a fool to blindly trust her. I've hurt you and a lot of others due to that blind trust.
Ash clicked his tongue. You said, was a liar and manipulator?
I killed her and disbanded the gang.
Shit.
Ash knew DeVos was a harsh place that played by its own rules, but to hear Phelan casually admit to killing Ray was a sobering thing. The only protection for him and those he cared for was by his own hands, and for that, he needed to become stronger.
So, does that mean you no longer want to bash my head in with earth magic?
Phelan shook her head.
No. I just want to try and do what I can to attempt to make amends. I brought the money Ray stole from you and the orc.
Phelan placed a wad of cash by her feet and put a stone on top of it to keep the wind from carrying it away. She then turned to leave.
Wait,
Ash called out. She stopped and turned to face him. Phelan looked as if the world had beaten her. She was exhausted and humbled by the revelation about Ray, and Ash was starting to see her for what she really was, a victim. A victim of Ray, who was now going around and apologizing for all of the wrong done by her. The person who had manipulated her. Ash canceled the bolt he had been holding since she had shown up.
You look exhausted. Would you like to come in for a cup of coffee?
Phelan looked surprised at his offer.
Yes, thank you. I'm afraid I don't even know your name.
Ash held out his hand to her. Ash. With the greeting done, He turned and led her inside, trying not to show he was still wary about having her at his back. Silver was sitting in the living room with his laptop as they came into the apartment. She was angrily hacking away at the keys, and Ash had some trepidation about what kind of comments she was leaving on Ember's videos. She gave him a scowl as they entered the room, then narrowed her eyes at Phelan.
Oh, look! I leave you alone for a minute and you find yourself a puppy to bring home!
Ash rolled his eyes. Please ignore my magic teacher. She's a little grumpy today. Ash stepped into the kitchen and got the coffee pot brewing.
I would like to apologize for yesterday. I acted rashly and have since learned I was being lied to and manipulated,
Phelan said to Silver.
Nothing to apologize for. I had a great time yesterday morning. You are a wonderful punching bag,
Silver said with a warm smile before glaring at Ash.
It was last night that was the disappointment.
Ash mouthed the word crazy to Phelan when she cast him an odd look before meeting Silver's glare with one of his own. She likes to insinuate that we're a couple as a way to get her kicks. The reality is we have a deal. She's teaching me magic theory, and in exchange, she gets room and board, Ash said.
But you were still supposed to try and chase me. I had some really good rejection lines worked up too,
Silver said, before she started hacking away at the keyboard again.
She's doing a good job then. I've watched you practicing on the beach. You showed dedication and improved rapidly each time I saw you.
Silver grumbled from the couch.
Wish I could take credit, but that was all this slut.
Silver punctuated each word with a loud peck of a key. Ash scowled.
Please tell me you're not going through each of her vids and commenting slut or something.
The coffee finished brewing, and he filled two cups, passing one to Phelan, who went right away for the sugar and cream.
She deserves it for challenging me,
Silver declared.
She didn't challenge you, and even if she did, it wouldn't be a competition,
Ash said with a laugh. Silver shot him a glare as she flared up the curse. It felt like sharp claws raking across his back. Ash rolled his shoulders to shrug off the pain and discomfort.
Really? Let's ask her,
Silver said, turning her attention back to Phelan. Silver got off the couch and carried the laptop over toward her.
Do you think a sane man would rather spend the night flirting with me or sexting this hussy?
Silver flipped the laptop, showing a video of Ember. Ash recognized it as her video on the pros and cons of the various magic affinities. He had watched it a few times. Phelan stared at the laptop with a shocked expression. Ash was getting tired of Silver's brashness.
Like I said, no competition,
Ash said, reaching over and pressing the laptop closed. Silver stormed her bunny ass back to the couch, mumbling curses under her breath. Once there, the angry sound of clacking keys returned. Ash pulled out his phone and started typing a message to Ember to warn her of the barrage of vulgar comments that the Banshee was no doubt posting. Silver looked up at him and narrowed her eyes.
Are you messaging that bitch?
Silver faked wiping away a tear from her eye, and her voice took a mocking tone.
Dearest Ember, someone is saying mean things about you online. Always yours, hearts and kisses, smoke.
Ash hit send on the message and flipped Silver off. He turned around to face Phelan as Silver burst out laughing. A sigh escaped him as he saw the wolfkin staring at him with wide eyes and a red face. Even she was embarrassed by Silver's antics.
She's a pain in the ass, but knows her stuff, Ash said, shaking his head. Only reason I'm putting up with her.
Well, he put up with her because he didn't have much of a choice. Phelan coughed to clear her throat
and took a sip of her coffee. She looked as if she was contemplating something, probably if she should bail, with how weird Silver was acting.
"Have either of you been to District 208?
Phelan asked, changing the subject. "I'm a recent exile. I've only been in District 114 and whatever district in Kansas that the U.S. government shoved me through."
"So one of your first experiences in DeVos was me attacking you."
Phelan grimaced. "Second day here, which you've already apologized for, and I've accepted," Ash said as he sipped his coffee. Truthfully, he was still bitter about the whole thing, but he understood that Phelan had trusted Ray and acted on what the bitch had said. She was stepping up and trying to make amends. The clanking of angry keys had stopped, and Silver was staring at Phelan with a serious expression.
"Why are you curious about District 208?
Silver asked. Phelan sighed.
"I learned Ray was making deals in the district, so trying to gather more information on it."
Silver seemed to be studying Phelan, as if she was judging the validity of her statement.
"The district boss is Destry. He's a Kelpie and very bad news. Whatever those dealings were, I would forget about them. You're not strong enough to fight him."
Phelan looked at Silver skeptically, but gave her a nod of acknowledgement before turning back to face Ash. Her ears were perked, and her tail swished back and forth as she set the empty coffee cup in the kitchen sink.
"Thank you for the coffee, Ash," Phelan said.
Ash smiled at her. He was happy to see her mood had improved. She just needed some kindness.
"You're welcome, Phelan. I wish you the best," he said as he led her to the door.
Ash waited until he was sure Phelan was gone before taking a seat on the couch with Silver. She was no longer slandering Ember online.
"So, things got tense when she brought up District 208,
Ash opened. Silver twisted on the couch and laid her head down in his lap before he could move out of the way. She stared up at the ceiling. He was about to shove her off of him, but he saw something in Silver he had never seen before. Vulnerability.
"Destry was the idiot that locked me in the safe. The fucking bastard,"
she said somberly. The mention of District 208 must have dredged up horrible memories, and despite her brazen antics, she had endured hell being locked in that safe. His hand moved without thought to the top of her head, and he started to run his fingers through her hair.
"What are you doing?"
Silver pouted.
"Is it because I'm disguised as a bunny that you decided to pet me?"
"Sorry, I'll stop." When he tried to move his hand away, Silver grabbed it and pulled it back down onto her head.
"I didn't say stop,"
she said softly. Silver lay there relaxed as his fingers brushed through her hair. Each time he tried to stop, she would pout and pull his hand back. He quickly resigned himself to doing this for a time, and her eyes began to slowly close. Silver was asleep on his lap by the time Beau returned from his supply run. The orc brought a blanket and draped it over Silver.
"Stay here. I'll go mess with the bike,"
Beau whispered. Ash nodded in thanks as Silver snuggled into the blanket. He didn't want to disturb her. Chapter 7. Silver watched in bewilderment as the scene unfolded. She had seen many odd things in her life, but this was one of the strangest ones. The way Ash casually talked about going to Lily's to return her bike had made her think it would be a quick and easy outing. She wanted to grab some potions anyway. Nothing sounded dangerous about this trip. How foolish that thought was. Lily's garden was the domain of a dryad, a race so powerful in nature magic that some were worshipped as goddesses of the forests back on Voss. Silver heard countless stories of their fickle nature, wiping out entire armies that had entered their forests. Yet here, surrounded by hundreds of plants that could tear someone to shreds at her slightest whim, the dryad seemed to be powerless before Ash.
"Stop fighting! This is happening, Lily!"
Ash said as he pinned the dryad against the counter of her shop.
"Is it going to hurt?"
She looked at him with wide eyes. "Only if you keep struggling. I don't want to hurt you. That's why I made sure I got it very wet," Ash said as he kept her pinned.
"Just please be gentle."
Lily pouted as she accepted her fate. Ash's hand tightened around Lily's hair. She closed her eyes and bit her lip in anticipation. Gently, he pulled the half-eaten sucker out of her hair. "See, if you wet it first, the sucker won't pull. Seriously, Lily, how did you get it stuck in your hair?"
"I just woke up with it there. Wait, don't throw it away!"
Ash gave a stern look at the pleading dryad before dropping the sucker into the trash. Lily gasped in horror.
"All right, I'm going to go do the mountain of dishes I'm sure you have scattered everywhere but the sink,"
Ash sighed before walking into the back of Lily's shop. Lily made it halfway to the trash can before Ash's voice boomed from the back.
"You better not take that sucker out of the trash, Lil!"
Lily grumbled as she took a seat in the office chair, spinning it around while kicking her feet before coming to a stop facing Silver, a mischievous smile on the dryad's face.
"So, you're the online girlfriend. Look, I need to know if you two sexted each other first or went straight into fucking. It's important."
Silver's lips thinned at being mistaken for that online whore.
"I am not Ember," she said sternly. "My name is Silver, and I am Ash's new magic teacher, one who is far superior to that amateur with a few videos online." "Shit, you're the rebound girl,"
Lily gasped. Silver's eye twitched as the dryad growled and spun around in her chair.
"Oh, damn it! I guess the bet is void, then. Does Bo know? I am not the rebound girl! He can only wish that I was his woman. Then maybe he wouldn't spend his nights texting that slut puppy like she was in heat,"
Silver snapped.
"Oh, that bastard. I told him to wait a few more weeks. Damn it. Now I owe Bo money."
Lily stewed in her chair.
"I guess I can deduct it from Ash's pay. So, you're the wannabe side chick, then?"
the dryad asked with another twirl of her chair.
"I'm his magic teacher,"
Silver said through gritted teeth. She was half considering seducing the human just so she could rub it in the face of the slut puppy and this ditzy dryad. A spiteful smile graced her face as she imagined sending both of them pictures of Ash hilt deep in her slit and complete bliss with her body. That would shut both of them up.
"Hey, is everything all right out here? Thought I heard shouting," Ash asked as he came back into the room.
Lily hopped out of her chair and grabbed the spray bottle Ash had used to wet her hair from the counter. She aimed it at him and started spraying him with water.
"Bad horny human! You were supposed to wait until I won the bet,"
she scolded. Ash raised an eyebrow and looked at Silver as his boss repeatedly misted him.
"What did you tell her?" he asked.
Silver just gave him a tired stare.
"Can we get my potions and go now?"
Silver had spent the walk from Lily's shop to the beach venting about the dryad. Ash found it refreshing hearing someone else having to put up with Lily's madness.
"You didn't have to go with me to Lily's. I could have picked up the potions you needed," he said while going through his warm-up stretches.
He turned and looked at the banshee disguised as a rabbitkin sitting on one of the large rocks near the rusted cargo ship. She was rocking a goth girl vibe, wearing a black hoodie that said Killer Bunnies in blood red and gray yoga pants.
I did not escape that safe just to hang around an apartment all day.
Silver jumped off the rock, landing on the sand. The hoodie did nothing to hide the bounce of her ample chest, though Ash tried to keep from watching. Getting caught would give Silver ammo, and she didn't need any more. She gave him a sly smile as he failed in that endeavor.
We need the potions for training, so I wanted to make sure we got the right ones.
Silver glared at him.
Though we stayed longer than I thought we would, you made it sound like we would be quick.
Nothing is quick with Lily. Ash laughed.
It would have been if you were not being her housework daddy,
she said with a roll of her eyes. Housework daddy? Ash arched his eyebrow.
Like a sugar daddy, but instead of paying for everything, you just do all of her housework.
Silver leaned in and whispered into his ear.
Bet you even wash her panties after you make them dirty.
Here I thought our deal was you would teach me magic, not comment on my sex life. Ash frowned as Silver laughed.
Oh, I am. The comments on your lack of a sex life are charity work.
Something caught Silver's attention, and she looked past Ash.
Oh, look, we have company.
Ash turned and saw that Phelan was taking her usual spot along the ship to practice magic. She gave a hesitant wave toward them when she saw them looking at her. Ash waved in return and smiled when he saw Phelan's tail start to wag slightly. Relax, Phelan comes down here to practice magic as much as I do. So, teacher, what are we going to do today? Ash asked as Silver beamed at the title.
It's called burst training. You will pull your magic into one spell. At the last second before your reserves go dry and the spell fizzles out, you take a magic restore potion, which will replenish your magic reservoir. The goal is to keep this cycle going for as long as possible.
Silver had a nefarious smile as he took a magic restore potion from her. What's the catch?
When you finally cast the spell, it will hurt. The end results of this training improve both your magic flow and spell potency, so you cast faster and spells hit harder.
Ash started to cast Bolt. He felt the magic gather in his fingers but kept it from releasing. Some instinct in the back of his mind screamed at him to release the spell. He ignored it and downed a magic restore potion. He made it through two magic restore potions before the instinct was too much and he released the spell.
Fuck!
Ash uttered through gritted teeth as the pain brought him to his knees. Silver undersold the pain. His arm felt like it had tried to explode when he released Bolt. He was sure the two fingers he used to cast the spell with were now broken.
Yeah, burst training hurts like a bitch.
Silver stretched before pulling another potion from her hoodie.
Healing potion, take it and reset your fingers.
Ash downed the potion as a sadistic smile bloomed on Silver's face.
That should heal them within half an hour, but you have other fingers, so we'll do a rotation and keep going.
Will all of your training involve me being in pain? Ash asked as the healing potion started working.
Yes. Pain is your body being pushed past its limits. It will either get stronger or break.
Ash stood up and started casting Bolt with his ring and little finger. It felt odd casting with these fingers, but he managed. Silver laid two handfuls of both healing and magic restore potions in the sand before returning to her rock. Her yoga pants looked like they were painted on her ass as she climbed back up.
Today is going to be a long day, he mumbled.
Silver stopped the training after 4 hours, mostly because she started worrying that Ash's bones would turn into mush. Even with multiple healing potions in his system, all of his fingers were wrapped in tape and splinted.
You keep impressing me. With your magic, anyways. Everything else is a disappointment. I figured you would want to call it quits after the first cast, but you're dedicated.
Silver said with an approving nod.
I really want a beer right now, but I don't know how I'll hold it, he said, looking down at his bandaged fingers.
Silver leaned forward and batted her eyes at him while pushing her ample chest out, her lips in a pout.
I'll tell